Welcome to We Got a Podcast, a podcast normally about Dragon Ball. From Nerve to Casper to Asuka, we're going to cover it all. I'm Ken.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm minus some amount of time, Randy. Yeah,
we finally did that correct. We didn't talk over each other this time.
I thought about it this time. I'm like, oh, it's my turn now.
Yeah, I know. As I was talking, I was like, oh God, who's going to go?
We didn't talk about it before.
Well, speaking of stuff we haven't talked about before, Doug, thank you. We've got two Ava OVAs here to talk about.
OVAs, if you're nasty.
Yeah, OVAs. Or OAVs, if you're confused and lost. So we've got Evangelion 3.0 minus 46H.
Because we go with the math.
And Evangelion 3.0 minus 120 min. If you can't, if you're a little confused, it means minus 46 hours. And minus 120 minutes.
From when movie 3.0 starts? Is that what it's insinuating?
That's the insinuation, yeah. Okay. So,
yep. Because when Ken first gave this to me, I thought he was telling me that the runtime was 46 hours, and I thought it was just a typo. Like, it can't be 46 minutes, but that's the actual title of these specials? Okay.
Especially considering I said that to you like 72 hours in advance, and be like, all right, Doug,
yeah.
Put your life on hold.
You gotta start now.
So, the minus 46H OVA came out second, but we're going to cover this chronologically here. So it was produced specifically for the Blu-ray release of Thrice Upon a Time, right here. Check it out. G Kids, $30 on Amazon.
So that's the third movie.
That's the fourth one. All right,
that's the
Doug, don't worry about it. Don't
I'm,
worry
I'm
that
the
there's
audience
a three
surrogate
in the
here.
Either, yeah.
When there's confusion, yeah. I'm going to speak up.
Well, the full title is 3.0 plus 1.01
right.
Thrice Upon a Time. So you got to do math in the title. Be like, okay,
but
this is the fourth
movie. But these specials take place
incorrect.
Before the third one.
Because
3.0 plus 1.11.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We're not in theaters, Randy. Sorry.
We'll cover all of this when we get to that movie. So for
I'm
now.
I'm already confused.
It's named this, minus 46H, because it takes place less than 48 hours than the beginning of Evangelion 3.0, You Cannot Redo. The next special we're going to be talking about is called Evangelion 3.0 minus 120 min, an OVA produced specifically for the Blu-ray release of Thrice Upon a Time, but based on a one-shot manga handed to moviegoers of Evangelion 3.0 plus 1.01, re-released version of 3.0 plus 1.0 with updated cuts. Named for taking place 120 minutes before the beginning of the movie, 3.0, written by Kazuya Tsurumaki, one of the co-directors of the rebuilds, and illustrated by Hidenori Matsubara, a key animator on the original series and the rebuilds, and Mahiro Maeda, who's provided support such as key animation and storyboarding in the rebuilds, and I think he also did a little bit of work on the series proper and End of Eva. Okay, Doug, questions?
No questions. I have comments, but I'll let you keep chugging.
So we're going... Yes, Randall.
Doug, do you hear that weird sound whenever Ken is talking?
Yes,
like a screeching noise?
Yeah.
There's a weird screeching noise.
Where's your clicker, Randy?
Yeah. I don't have it up with me right now.
Screeching noise? So we're going to jump right into the plot outline of 46H minus 46H. Let's not let us get away from that. These are convoluted titles, and we need to respect them.
That is true. But Ken, we had discussed before we jumped in here that we were going to preface all this with a warning.
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Don't do this.
Oh, yeah.
Don't watch.
Do what we did.
Don't. I feel like we did it for science, and we did it the experiment of trying to watch everything chronologically. Don't do it. Right? This is like watching the chronological cut of The Godfather 2. Why would you do that? You know, it's supposed to be spaced out specifically. So... Mm-hmm. I would recommend if you haven't yet watched these specials, put this, you can hit stop here, come back later, watch the 3.33 and then the Thrice Upon a Time, and then come back and watch this one.
Well, I think they could still like listen to us talk about it and explain it. It's just don't watch it before your rewatch of 3.0.
Yeah,
definitely.
So now that we're in it, Midori Kitakami, Hideki Tama, and Sumire Nagata perform pull-ups while Midori reflects on the past. So this is kind of like key number one of like, who the hell are these people?
Yeah.
Right, right.
So how much do you want to go into setting up of like when this is taking place? Because we last left off watching 2.0 with near third impact starting.
Impacts, yeah.
So the problem is that a lot of this stuff isn't even covered in this special. It's covered in the minus 120 min. But to avoid future spoilers and of like movies, we can talk about what happened in 120 min here.
Okay.
They establish
these specials. Like we said, we're not supposed to do this the way we're supposed to watching it. These are assuming you've already seen
both of these.
Right. To then watch these, which is how you should.
Well, no. I'm saying for our discussion, we're not talking about 3.33 or Thrice Upon a Time. Just these two specials.
Kind of this. Okay.
So minus 120 min establishes that the efforts to rescue or to retrieve Unit 1 take place 14 years after 2.22.
Why is that?
We will get to that later. We can't talk about that stuff just yet.
Dang it.
There's a reason for it, but we'll get to that later. As for now, and I've totally just twisted around because my mind is like melted into LCL and I don't know where I am anymore because we're watching these in the wrong order.
Yeah, right.
Not where we're supposed to be. So
just wanted to say, context, if you are just continuing from where we last left off, there's been a 14-year time skip. It's not told to you during these specials because it's assumed you've seen 3.0, in which it reveals it is now 14 years later. So that's why there are some characters here that you probably don't know.
We discuss this in a way where this is our first time seeing it. I mean, it kind of shapes a different perspective on these specials without thinking about what's happening in the future. If you just look at these alone, it's going to be a little different. I didn't think about that until you just said we're not talking spoilers, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard. This is why I would say don't do this.
Don't do it.
Because even 3.33 introduces a lot at once, right? There has been a 14-year time jump, but it does everything. And this is like future spoilers minus one. Right. Is that everything is through Shinji's perspective. So your touchstone in that moment is you're with Shinji. You are as lost as he is. Right. Here, being introduced to three characters, I don't know who any of these people are. I don't know what Ville is. I have no idea what's going on. So that's just watch them as they're intended to be coming out.
So what happens? So go through what happens through this special because I'm kind of fuzzy on that again.
So as they're doing pull-ups, Hideki says, oh, I'm going to die. And then Midori's like, you're not going to die, but I'm going to think about this. And then we go to the past, an unspecified number of years later into the past. Something resembling Third Impact from the end of Evangelion occurs as waves of instrumentality radiate across the globe and a red giant resembling Unit 1 comes out of the ground in a city as Midori escapes. Its head falls off and absorbs into the ground.
Did you say End of Eva as in the End of Eva movie?
Because visually it's very much the same as how it happened in that movie where you have this wave coming out and a whole bunch of light crosses coming up across the whole area. So it's visually the same.
Right, but are you saying End of Eva as in the movie titled End of Eva? Or are you saying End of Eva as in the movie we just saw previously, the end of that Eva movie?
The movie called End of Evangelion.
Okay, sorry, just had to get that. Those little intricacies make it a big difference. That's you think it's a purposeful callback to that?
Yes. Oh, 100%. There's a lot of visuals in these two specials that are
Why wouldn't they do the ending of Near Third Impact, like what just happened before, like chronologically?
Because more stuff has happened.
So from the time of the second movie that we saw to this flashback, how much time has passed?
It's unclear.
Yeah, okay,
but time has passed. So something else has happened.
Okay.
This is what we can assume unrelated to Near Third Impact.
Okay.
And we can tell that because Asuka's in this movie, and she was not around while Near Third Impact was going on. So something else has happened, and that's the bulk of this special that we're in.
Okay.
So Midori runs, noting that her family turned red and melted and that all the adults are gone. The moon has red blood marks on it like from End of Evangelion on Lilith's black moon.
Again.
Yeah. So Midori takes refuge in some nerve wreckage. The next day, she discovers a vista full of wandering giant red zombies as instrumentality creeps behind her and a zombie appears below her.
Instrumentality creeps behind her.
That's just my phraseology for this.
Okay.
because we see like that red,
the redness,
and there are terms for this stuff.
There are
that I'm not using because we don't know it yet.
Oh, okay.
So it's creeping its way towards her, and it's like she's going to be trapped from all around. Right.
We actually don't know that this is, what's her name, Midori. We don't even know that it's her.
Well, we can assume because it's a flashback that she's thinking like this is my.
I didn't catch that she was flashbacking. I just like, oh, I didn't know who this character was because her hair wasn't pink. So I'm like, oh, this could be anybody.
Okay.
I wonder who this is.
Fair.
That's my mentality watching the thing. Yeah.
I didn't understand how this works exactly because when they first show us instrumentality happening, or what we assume is instrumentality, it covers the globe in an instant.
Right. Yeah. So what are the logistics of this? Did it not cover everything? Were we shown that, but that's actually very sped up and it's happening slowly?
Oh, yeah.
Or this is a second coat of paint around the world?
It didn't take the first time. Yeah.
Right.
It comes in waves.
It was near globe paint job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they show it and she can outrun this wave that's coming towards her. And then she says that her family turned red and melted and all the adults are gone, which would lead me to assume that she was present when this happened to them.
Right.
Yes. That makes sense.
So,
and got away.
But she was just out of reach of it.
It makes me wonder, does it affect older people first? You know, because if
their ego,
we don't know if she has. Right. We don't know if she's got brothers or sisters. She just says family. Could just be, you know, mom and dad, maybe an aunt or grandmother.
How dramatic this tiny special is, I like to assume that there is also, that we didn't see, like a sacrificial moment from her family or parents or whatever, like, go get out of here. And like, she gets saved, but then turns around and sees them dying.
I like not knowing, really.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's, that's what I mean. It's like, confused, this knows how to not show, like keep the mystery alive of it.
But at the same time, I'm like, I need to know the details of what happened here.
Because it's the world building.
Because what you're showing
it's not character. It's like it's world building that I care about.
The problem is that we don't have a PlayStation 2 game following the rebuild movies to explain all of this stuff.
Like, you didn't play the PS Vita game that had this intricate detail in there?
No, I'm going to need it to be on the PlayStation 2. No, otherwise, I can't take it seriously.
Yeah, there is one on the Ouya, though. So you just track one of those down.
Ouya. Oh, you said half the name.
So I did. A blindfolded Asuka in a one-armed Unit 2 comes to her rescue and battles the zombie, saving Midori.
Yeah,
Asuka's left eye glows bright blue under her blindfold during the battle. What I'm calling angel goop falls on Midori and turns her hair pink. We see when Asuka throws the zombie over Midori, its spinal column, Doug, I don't know if you caught onto this, looks like a spear. Dick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That what you said.
Like a spear of Longinus or the Lance of Long?
What? Longus. That name. Spear of Longus.
After the encounter, Midori decides that she is going to join Ville when she grows up to take a shot at the idiot who screwed up the world.
Yeah. It kind of gives motivation to a character I didn't care had motivation.
Right. I mean, we're coming at this the wrong way where we're watching this. Chronologically, so it's like, I already don't know this person. I don't have a connection.
Yeah.
Whereas if you watch us in a different order, you might have seen this character and been like, they have an interesting design. I wonder what her deal is.
Someone must have just been, someone in the exec room was just like, why is this unique girl working for Waylay? Like, why her? And instead of keeping it a mystery, he's like, I'll make a little special about this. A little fun.
Right.
Not fun, but a little explanation.
Right. I wonder, we have sort of a cast of characters that we'll meet later. I guess I shouldn't even say it because I was going to bring something up of like an alternative.
Right.
Is this other character, which we also have not met. So
I'll just say it's like the most unique and like standout character amongst the normies.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's very like, oh, pink hair. Like it's that's how it is.
Like, they've all of their character designs have been pretty grounded. Misato has, like, purple hair, but I guess you could be like, oh, it's just stylistic choice for, like,
It's muted, grounded, purple hair, yeah. Don't you dare talk bad about Misato, Randy.
I'm not here to talk bad about it. I'm just saying.
Yet.
Uh-huh. The pink is a very strange color.
She works in
color.
All dimensions, Randy.
I think this will be much more refreshing to watch after 3.33.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For
where we've met these characters and maybe not watch it after Thrice Upon a Time, but watch it in between 3.33 and 3.0 plus 1.11.
Yeah.
I think that would likely be the way to go.
I would like to call out a little piece of trivia here that already? Unit 2, missing an arm and yeah. with all these, you know, strange looking things, has a name. And it is Ava Unit 2 Alpha EIV, which stands for Emergency Improvised Version. So
okay.
if you wanted to know,
that makes
look
sense.
Up, if you wanted to look up a figure for it, that's what it's called. So there you go.
I'd rather just take my regular one and then tear the arm off of that and then call it improvised.
Well, then you're going to miss the other chunks on its head that are different. Yeah. And
it's a very Metal Frieza type build.
So speaking of Unit 2.
Yeah, go ahead.
And Asuka specifically, she's blindfolded.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Right.
So, Doug, if you remember at the end of 2.22, Ritsuko says...
Please remind me.
...that they're worried that Asuka is still contaminated by the angel.
Remind me what happened to Asuka in the movie prior.
She got taken over by the ninth angel?
What do you mean taken over? I
can't remember the number.
The ninth angel took over the Ava...
Unit 3.
She was in. She's Toji in this one.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So, they're worried that when she got kind of pulled in by that whole thing... that she's somehow contaminated by the angel, which could be dangerous. Again,
yeah,
they don't know how these things work. Who knows what sort of danger that could come from that?
Right, right. Okay. So
she also
might be wearing a bandana or a blindfold because of that.
Right. And then also, from the preview we saw for the third movie, the last shot was Asuka with an eye patch. So, but now she's
just
completely
one.
Blindfolded.
Yeah.
Just one.
And so. This was made post... Was this made post... all four movies? Mm-hmm.
This was, yes. Made after the fourth movie.
Okay. So they knew what they had, they knew what came before, and they still stuck with this. So this is very purposeful that she has both eyes covered.
Mm-hmm.
And a short haircut, too.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't really know what that means, but
it's 46, a cool look. 46 hours until...
Well, this flashback takes place somewhere in between
right,
all that
right,
time.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah. Can we speculate on that then? Because that means, let's just say it's like 10 years... before,
I'm going,
like, why was she to cut her hair off, or what happened to it?
That's a good question. I mean, I was thinking, are we going to speculate on when this takes place? Because I would assume in this, Midori is a teenager. And then in 3.0, she's probably early 20s or something.
She could be 20 or 30 in the movies.
That's
so
true.
There's no telling.
Yeah. I'm sure that there's a thing out there that's like, she's this old in 3.0, here's her blood type, her favorite food, her least favorite food, her favorite sport.
Enough time has passed where the earth was wiped or whatever, or whatever city she's in has been decimated and has known to be decimated for a while, that it is so unusual for them to discover this survivor there.
Right.
So that could be months, that could be years. I don't want to say years, because how would she live on her own without food for that long?
True. She does have a backpack. Who knows what's in that backpack?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I like that we glossed over that Mari is piloting this giant stealth bomber that can carry, is large enough to carry Unit 2.
It says Nerve on it, and it's crossed out.
Oh, I didn't catch that. I mean, they are stealing stuff of theirs all the time, so that makes sense. I mean, spoilers.
We don't know the whole abandoning Nerve thing yet until these new movies.
No.
Right? Okay, so I'll hold my questions till that.
We've twisted ourselves into this strange pretzel for how we've decided to watch these, where it's like, okay,
we thought, hey, why
beforehand.
Not chronological? I think a simple Google search would have been like, don't do that.
Don't.
But
so in the present, Midori completes her 30 pull-ups and tells Hideki that there are less than 2 days remaining until Operation US begins. There is no change in the retrieval target's orbit, and we see the head of new Unit 2.
Cool.
So that's the end of minus 46H. So what does this tell us? Let's say we're watching this for the first time and we haven't seen 3.33. This tells us a few things. Some sort of other impact type event has happened.
Oh.
Because near third impact only happened in Tokyo 3 and was very short lived and did not reach very, very far.
Oh.
Because it had just started before Kaoru descended through the lance through Unit 1.
But you're saying
it
only reached out to Tokyo. And you're saying now it's assumed that another one happened because more of the world has been affected.
Correct.
Yes.
What?
This tells us something's going on with the moon. This tells us Asuka's back in action in some sort of different Unit 2.
Unit 2 survived because it was not in a great state after the fight at the end of 2.0, after doing beast mode and getting stomped and all that.
This introduces
that the other girl was piloting instead.
Yeah, Mari was in.
Did she lost her arm then too?
Unit 2? Can't remember. Does that when it lost it?
So is this not the same Unit 2 as the Unit 2 we saw in the previous movie?
It is.
It is.
But yeah. I can't remember if we were shown in 2.0 that that's how it lost that arm.
Oh, or so if it could it just has be a since mystery. Lost it. Oh, right. Interesting. Okay.
This is, shows us that there are like shambling giant red Unit 1s walking around with no heads.
Yeah. Which Why are the heads important?
Well, there are theories, which we can get to in the next movie.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Well, sorry. I mean, in this movie, in this short, what's happening? The heads are just falling off of these zombie-like things because they're not because, right. But just tell me what's happening.
They haven't, Kaoru gives them a name in the third movie, which might explain why heads are falling off.
Okay.
But no, we'll get to that. When
we all we see is that the heads are falling off of these
right.
zombies. Okay. That look like Unit One.
Yes. Specifically look like Unit One.
We are introduced to Ville.
Who's that?
That is in. It is
some organization.
Some organization, yeah.
Oh, good hat. That at least has an aircraft carrier.
Yeah,
gotcha.
We're introduced to the idea of Operation US, though we don't really know what it is yet. But we do know there is a retrieval target in orbit, which generally would mean space. So, okay. So let's jump into -120 Min, which again is basically just a motion comic. Mm-hmm. Of the original manga that came out as a part of a book called Extra, 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 I believe. If you went and saw specifically, not the original showing of this movie, you had to go to the revised showing of this movie to get this booklet. So
cool. They gave you a booklet at the theater, like a la Dragon Ball Resurrection F, the little booklet that they had.
Japan gets the cool stuff. We get people who smell like cheese talking next over to us looking at their cell phones. That's what we get here in America.
Sorry about that. That's me. That's got to be so cool to have that book and then see it come to not come to life. I still would consider it, because this is just manga panel after, like, in video form, but it's still done so nicely and tastefully that it'd be so cool to have this book and then months or years later see it in motion come alive.
Yeah. Voiced and everything. Yeah, it's a great
voiced. That's gonna great be so
motion
cool.
comic. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes me really wish I could read Japanese so I didn't need the subtitles and I could just read the word bubbles that are in on the screen, you know?
Yeah. That'd come in clutch for a lot of things.
Yeah.
So in the Pacific Ocean, atop the Mighty Queen, which we can surmise is a type of craft that is going to be used to launch Unit 2 into orbit.
And 8?
8 is launched by Mighty King.
Oh, did not know that.
Because they talk later about when we're 30 minutes prior to liftoff, they talk about how Mari has gone to Mighty King.
Right.
Hmm.
So
that one's going to the Black Moon, Randy.
So in the Pacific Ocean,
that has Jamaica on it.
Asuka looks up at the moon. Mari joins her, dressed in her school uniform, and explains to Asuka that this is how Shinji would remember her, having only met him once.
Yeah, which is that's true, right? I didn't think about that until she said that. Like, oh yeah, they've only seen each other when she crash landed on him on the roof.
Yep.
What a cool scene! Like, looking back at the scene again, it's just like how un-Ava that felt. That scene particularly is like, this feels like a slice of life anime real quick.
Yeah, where's the bread in her mouth?
Kind of like purposefully, like this is, she's breaking the cycle, like you said last time.
Yeah.
This also is introducing the idea of Shinji being part of this retrieval target.
Right.
That something is going on. Shinji's important for this, as he kind of is in all of Ava. So Asuka insists that Shinji is gone, dissolved into the LCL inside Unit 1.
You got to have that, Asuka, sass. She's like, why the hell are you wearing that? And then she explains, and she's like, what are you even talking? He's gone.
Yeah.
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 And, of course, being dissolved into LCL happened in the original series, and Shinji got better.
After a few budget cuts.
We're being told here that 14 years later, he is not.
Right. Because in the TV series, it's a month it takes before he comes out of that thing.
In this, it's not yet, to our knowledge. Right.
Right. He's been in Unit 1 for 14 years.
Wow.
We assume. We're not told otherwise.
Right. Unless Mari has always stayed in a different room and never seen him.
Yeah, right. So Asuka decries her young, unaging body, and Mari denotes that she and Asuka will be young for way longer than the Lilin will be. But the way that this is all phrased is she is saying that she and Asuka are not part of the Lilin. is the implication here.
Oh, I guess I noticed that her mentioning Lilin, and in my head, I'm trying to translate it to human speak. Like, oh, she means humans. Like they have a curse now where they don't age the same way as a muggle, for lack of a better term, yeah. Right?
Well, I think Randy put it best, saying that they are othering themselves. So we don't even really know.
Right, right. They're othering themselves. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know if this means that they're secretly like Martians and not Lilins or what yet. So we don't know exactly.
Or just what's going on. It's just another roundabout way of her saying like we're freaks.
Yeah.
Compared to regular humans. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're different somehow.
Yeah.
So for Operation US, Misato wants Mari to take point in the less damaged Unit 8, with Asuka providing support in new Unit 2. But Mari throws this away and says, let's move to Plan B. Asuka, you come up with me and we get Shinji together. Because wouldn't Shinji like that?
Mm-hmm.
She's still trying to like tug at that Asuka heartstring. Like, come on. I know there's a piece of hope in you in there a little bit somewhere.
Mm-hmm. But Asuka doubles down that Shinji's dead.
As she does.
Yeah. So 30 minutes prior to liftoff, as Mari is ready to join up on Mighty King, she catches Asuka repairing her old plug suit, which has been all ripped up, which I don't... Do we see the damage to it happen?
I don't think we see the damage to it, because I think the last thing we see of Asuka is her getting like weird angel wings and then being sucked into the core of Unit 3.
But it is one of those things where like it's been 14 years or whatever, and it's like she's been through some stuff. So
yeah,
and that wasn't even the suit she was wearing in Unit 3. She's wearing that one that was like see through from boobs down.
Yeah, isn't this revealing? So,
yeah.
I forgot about that.
So something else happened to her suit in the meantime.
Yeah, which is like unimportant. It's just like 14 years have passed. So yeah. I don't have the same sweater that I would wear 14 years ago. So, but if there's a 1% chance I might meet my old crush and they'd recognize me in this outfit.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't aged a day.
And I haven't aged a day.
And I still fit in it.
So as the two launch in space together to retrieve Unit 1, Ray, ? Stands atop a giant upside down pyramid in the sky and watches their trails. The credits roll, and the beginning of Evangelion 3.0, You Cannot Redo, begins.
Really? The scene with, like, the rocket or whatever?
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Cool.
That's the first thing that happens in that movie.
Cool. I like this special for what it was.
This one I do. Yeah, I like this one a lot. These two things function fine, not having seen 3, but you are really, you're lost in a different way watching these.
Yeah.
You need to be lost with Shinji. That's why, you know, future spoilers minus one, that's why 3.33 is so good, is that it just throws everything at you. Yes, 14 years have passed. Yes, Gendo's over here. Misato's over here. Everyone's in weird
Asuka's
places.
The same age.
There's just, this it's new like, Rey. Like, what is happening? But everything you see from Shinji's perspective. So yes, you are lost, but it's because you're supposed to be.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I don't here think I you're lost enjoyed... because you haven't seen the movie you were supposed
to
watch.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, I don't think I would have enjoyed this one as much had it been my first time, had I not seen the movies yet. It is because we know that Shinji, we're going to see him in the next movie. And like we know that Asuka will see him again. And like whatever that means to her, it is a nice, sweet, tender moment before the bomb hits off and the movie starts. It's just a tender moment of just like the two girls just talking with each other. It's nice.
Yeah.
Like, I love it.
Removed from the plot and the whole thing of you should be as lost as Shinji, I do like what this brings to the table in the form of more interactions of Mari with other characters, because Mari and Asuka did not have any real communication at all in 2.0. No. So seeing them kind of being very close and buddy-buddy and like Asuka being vulnerable around Mari for these sorts of things is, you know, eye-opening for both characters, really, but especially for Mari, because she's very much a mystery at this point.
She is. It's also great too that Asuka, you got to think that she is 14 years older too. So her demeanor is of an older person. Mm-hmm. But then like thinking of back to Shinji kind of brings her back a little bit and just like, I'm going to repair my suit. You know what I mean? It's great.
Yeah, she's 28 and still. Yeah.
She's almost as old as Misato was.
Yeah. She's not. It's as any other person in her situation would be. It's like I'm over this guy, even if I never admittedly that it liked him or whatever it is, the relationship that has, even like a friend that you haven't seen in a long time that you're like, oh, you care about him. I don't care about him. It's still like you're 28 and you're so removed. But then just the thought of going back to that, just sparks something in anyone. Shows Asuka, shows Asuka's not a Lillian. She's still a little human in there.
Mm-hmm.
Know what I mean? It's all about
connecting. We'll have to see. That's future spoilers. Or is it?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember either. It's been a long time.
I can't wait to watch these movies, though.
So I regrettably forgot to tweet out for thoughts, so we don't have any for this one. But that's fine. It's this isn't a real movie. In the beginning of the episode, we told you not to even watch this.
Who has even seen this besides the diehards that have the DVD and everything?
Yeah.
The Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm. I still think these are... I would say these are now like essential viewing.
What?
Yeah. I would not say watch them here. I would say these would work perfectly watched in between 3.33 and 3.0 plus 1.0.
Essential?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're essential character beats.
No.
I think that especially negative 120 minutes gives us that interaction between Asuka and Mari that really helps for how they interact in Thrice without getting
especially
into...
Especially in Thrice, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. So that's very... Okay. I haven't seen the movie in a while, so of course, maybe, but I'm definitely thinking about the Midoriya. Is that Midoriya? Not My Hero Academia.
Midoriya.
The pink-haired girl. I don't think that story is necessary at all. It's just like a little dressing. It's just,
I think
it just
that
reeks of someone like, why is this girl, kooky girl, in this business? And you tells you why.
Well, I think 46H is important in a slightly different way, more of... Here is some pretty monumental stuff that happened in between.
Oh, okay. 2.0 the world, and 3. The world lore, not the character lore.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
So, yeah, these two things serve very different purposes, but I think they are. I would never not watch these in between these two, in between 3 and 4 again.
You heard it here first. Ken would never not watch these.
That's a glowing recommendation because there's a lot of stuff I don't want to watch again.
Right.
A lot of episodes of GT I could go without.
Uh oh.
So, guys, do you have anything else for this? Any other pressing thoughts?
Randall?
Thanks for throwing it to me. I think, there's not that much more to say about it without going into spoilers for later movies.
So maybe we'll keep coming back to
this. I don't think we even gave context to people who haven't seen them. This is like a 10-minute thing and a 6-minute thing. Did you say that in the beginning of the episode or not? Because that's very essential.
They're very short. They're very
short. They're super short.
I rewatched them just before we recorded just to refresh myself on them. So
I will say that I watched this like a day or two ago. I think it was 2 days ago. Minus 46H. I felt like the animation was really good. I'm thinking a lot of Midori running away, escaping, all of that. I kind of wish the fight between the giant red zombie Unit 1 and Unit 2 was more exciting, but it was just kind of like, let me push you away. Oh, you're still coming. Okay, let me push you away again. Oh, that's not going to work. I guess I'll have to suplex you.
I get that. But yeah, that's never the point of this special.
No, but it would have been like, what? Could I see more? Like, is this thing trying?
That's the point of it, to get you to watch the movie.
Yeah, and it does kind of hint that these things are brain dead.
It's true.
There's no active interaction with them. They're just giant shambling zombies. Walking around.
You calling them zombies really is helping me, is going to help put them in perspective when if they reappear in these movies.
They will.
I never want to speak in certainty for somebody I haven't seen in 10 years.
The next episode, we're going to be reviewing Evangelion 3.33, You Cannot Redo, which is fantastic.
It's the third movie. It's the third movie, guys. And if you're lost as I am, it's the third movie.
If this is your first time going through these movies, I hate you. Because you're going to get to watch 3.33 and not have to wait 9 years, 8 or 9 years to get to the next one. So screw you. Nobody likes you. No, I'm just kidding.
That was me 5 years ago. I didn't care about watching these. I think I saw the first one and then I never bothered watching the other ones. Or I did and I wasn't hard enough a fan to be clamoring for more.
But you are in for such a treat because the third and fourth movies were always planned to be one double feature. And that's going to hold true. They are really two halves of one whole. And, oh, God, I can't wait. I'm not looking forward to writing up the notes on these two movies because...
Godspeed, Ken.
There's so much thrown at you in those two, and there are so many details all over the place, and there's a lot of jumping around.
Yeah, you got to note it all down and then dumb it down for Doug so that I understand. Yeah.
Well, that I like. Right? I like doing
that. Cool. I'm glad.
Okay. So, guys, as always, thanks for watching. We're reviewing GT still on our Dragon Ball GT podcast. The whole podcast is about GT.
We can't stop. We can't escape it.
And we are now entering into the evil dragons. Oh, God, help us. Please send help.
Finally.
Yeah. So, as always, thanks for watching, and we'll catch you Matsunator.
Bye.